You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
December the 14th, 2020, early voting in the Georgia Senate runoff elections beginning today. The race will wrap up January 5. You've got Senators Loeffler and Perdue, Republicans, facing Democrat challengers. President-elect Joe Biden arriving in Georgia tomorrow to campaign for both of those challengers, Warnock and Ossoff. And, of course, Georgians are heading the polls as President Trump continues to question the presidential election in that state. Warnoff expected to cast his vote in Atlanta on Monday and then hold a rally with his fellow Democrat. A lot of money being dumped into that race. And a lot of big names. Obama's already stepped in to try to help the Democrats. Trump has. And congressional leaders, Congressman Jim Jordan, Steve Daines, others say that electing Loeffler and Perdue remains essential to preserving America's freedom and vanquishing the prospect of socialism in Congress. Because as Chuck Schumer had said, we win Georgia, then we transform the country. I don't want my country transformed. I don't want to go socialist. That's what they would do if they have control of the Senate, the House, and the White House. Speaking of the White House, the Wisconsin Supreme Court today rejecting President Trump's lawsuit, trying to overturn his loss to Joe Biden in that state, did so just about an hour before the Electoral College started casting votes and the 10 votes going to Biden. We do have Republican electors in Pennsylvania and in Georgia that are casting votes for Trump, hoping for some kind of court victories down the road, something that will help change things. So they are casting their ballots for Trump. The challenges are pretty much over when you get down to it. I don't know of anything that can really be done at this point that would be valid, that would change anything. And many will never believe that this was a legitimate election. And many will insist, hell yes, it was. It always comes to mind for me, the O.J. Simpson case. How divided the opinion was on that. I still think he's guilty, but he was not found guilty. So I cannot say he is guilty. That's just my opinion. I think there was fraud, extensive fraud in this, but I can't prove it. No one else has been able to. And everybody says, you're just a sore loser. Well, I don't mind losing as long as I know it was fair. I don't think this was. And, of course, the news of Hunter Biden had been kept from the mainstream media. They did not want to make a big deal of it, afraid it might hurt Joe Biden in the election. Well, now if Joe's going to go in, now the mainstream media has more interest in looking at the laptop and the emails. And a new email, apparently dated January 16, 2017, indicates that Hunter Biden did not report $400,000 in income from Ukrainian natural gas firm Burisma. $400,000, just didn't bother reporting it. Hunter Biden acknowledged the other day that, yes, I am under investigation for tax charges. I take them seriously. We'll deal with them. But there are others, and you're going to hear one in the next segment, a former FBI deputy director saying, I think there's more than just tax issues. I think we're talking about money laundering, which is a major crime. We'll get into that. In the meantime, Special Counsel John Durham is expanding his team, reportedly making excellent progress investigating the origins of the Trump-Russian probe. Well, it must be Monday, so it must be time for a count out of Chicago on the violence. over the weekend in Chicago. 17 shot, 3 killed. Detectives in Chicago are at a loss. They admit it's been extremely busy. Murders in Chicago surging by more than 50% so far this year. More than 50%. Mayor Bill de Blasio might shut down New York City entirely again. Just when you thought it was safe to go to the restaurant, de Blasio says, no, I think we're going to close it up again. Good luck for those businesses and for those who rely and work at those businesses. We wish you the very best.
Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
Businesses, restaurants, nursing homes need to be free of COVID. So you should be contacting Wellington Environmental. A professionally trained team will disinfect your facility using powerful but safe disinfectants. And here's something new. Wellington has a line of foggers that you can use to disinfect your own facility. These foggers are in high demand, but Wellington Environmental has some for now. They cost about $500. But my listeners get a big price break, a $100 discount. You save $100 just by saying you heard about it on Larry Connors USA. For more information on getting your personal fogging device or to schedule professional disinfecting, 314-644-4930. 314-644-4930. Be well with Wellington Environmental.
I want to thank my friends at John Bill Roofing for sponsoring this segment of Larry Connors USA. John Bill Roofing, covering homes, businesses throughout the Midwest with the best quality and lowest price. John Bill Roofing. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
The FBI agent that took custody of the computer from the computer repair company slipped up a little bit. He left a file number on a receipt that he gave the shop, which is standard procedure. It indicates that there's a 272 case open, which is a money laundering case out of Baltimore. So I think there's something more serious, far more serious than just a tax case here. It could very well be a money laundering case. And when you have money laundering cases like that, this is a sort of a generic money laundering designation. That means you have illicit funds or at least reasonable indications that allow you to open up an investigation, full investigation. Each money laundering count carries 20 years.
20 years for each money laundering count that could be levied against Hunter Biden. That is former Assistant FBI Director Chris Swecker, appearing on Fox News. He said, when I look at what we already have in front of us, I don't just see maybe they're investigating him for any tax evasion, simply not reporting taxes, but actually laundering money. You know, of course, that if you go to your bank and you make a if you put $10,000 cash in your bank at that point, it's going to set off alarms. Oh, they're going to take it, but then they will notify that we just had a $10,000 cash deposit dropped in the bank. And the question right away is, well, where did you get that money? Are you involved in drug dealing or some other criminal activity? And there'll be an inquiry behind the scenes that might start on you, and they'll start looking at your bank account. Well, Larry, what if I just deposit $9,999? You know what? That threshold hasn't been reached. It might not mean a thing. So I'm talking to legitimate people here, not the drug dealers already know this stuff. They know it. First of all, they don't really put a lot of money into their banks anyway. They keep it themselves in their stash houses. But if you're legal and how you got the money and everything else, and I would still say break it up just to avoid the hassle down the road. But now there's a story coming out, according to an email that Fox News says it claims it found, referenced Hunter Biden. And the good part about this story, it was first reported by NBC News. For everybody who still thinks that Fox might be trying to damage the Bidens, this story was first reported by NBC News that the email was sent to Hunter Biden from a guy, Eric Schwerin, who at one time served as president of Rosemont Seneca. Fox said it could not verify the authenticity. Neither Schwerin nor Hunter Biden attorney responded to Fox News' request for comment. But Schwerin wrote to Hunter Biden on January 16, 2017. In 2014, here's what the email said. In 2014, you joined the Burisma board. We still need to amend your 2014 returns to reflect the unreported Burisma income. That is approximately $400,000 extra, so your income in 2014 was closer to $1,247,323. Oh, it is so good to have Daddy as a vice president. So they're telling him they need to change that. If he did do that, he can certainly make a claim, oh, you know, I just overlooked the $400,000. I don't know. I deal in big numbers all the time. I just overlooked it. But apparently that's money he collected from his position on the board of Ukrainian natural gas firm Burisma. The job he admits he got only because of his name is Biden. And Daddy is vice president at that point. Schwerin, the attorney, or rather the person who sent the email to Hunter at that time, and Schwerin again was president of Rosemont Seneca, said, in addition, you reported $1 million of income that all went to RSB. I guess that is Rosemont. I don't know who for sure. It's not clear by this. It's another entity. And you reported $188,000 in income. Well, you didn't receive this in cash. It is, in reality, phantom income. In other words, might have been padding his numbers to make him look like he's wealthier than what he was while hiding the real money. There'll be an explanation, you would think, right? But keep in mind, during the election this time around, a lot of the public, according to several surveys, different surveys, that about 20 million Biden voters knew nothing about anything from this laptop tying Hunter to any dealings. They did not know about the Bobulinski insider blowing the whistle, saying that I was meeting with James Biden and Hunter. And I asked him, what are you going to do if all this becomes public? And James said, plausible deniability, and laughed, thought it's funny. And Bobulinski saying, I even had a meeting, not at my request, but they wanted me to meet with Joe Biden, so I did, because they're trying to get me to sign into the deal. And none of this was being made public on the mainstream media. They just ignored it, walked away from it, never asked a question. But now that Joe is president, they might, if he becomes president, they might decide to escalate the investigations. Why would the mainstream media do that? Because it might be a way to get rid of Joe and get Kamala in place. I'll expand on that in a moment. But first of all, the very fact that Hunter Biden's tax affairs were under investigation, and Hunter admitted it the other day, and also the Wall Street Journal reported Thursday that Attorney General Barr was aware of investigations involving Biden's son since before the spring and was doing everything he could to keep it quiet, not making it public, because, quote, the Justice Department doesn't want to interfere with an election. I state again, the fact that you withhold information is also interfering with the election. I think the public's entitled to know before they vote. And Senator Ron Johnson, Republican of Wisconsin, said we should have been informed. Members of Congress should have been informed that Hunter Biden's tax affairs were under investigation as we were voting to impeach President Trump in 2019. We should have been told that. Johnson said, I'm sympathetic for keeping investigations confidential unless there's indictment. But when you're talking about investigations within the political realm, especially one that would have affected the impeachment trial of the sitting U.S. president in the U.S. Senate, that should have been relevant information. The fact that they had Hunter Biden's computer, they had all these emails back in December 2019. He said that was before the trial. That was part of the impeachment. We should have known it. I agree. Well, Peter Schweizer, the president of the Government Accountability Institute, the author of the book Clinton Cash, talks about how a grand jury and everything was in place, but then it just kind of, well, here's Peter Schweizer.
A grand jury was impaneled in 2018 to look into Hunter Biden and his foreign dealings. Nobody in the national media took it upon themselves to actually pursue that story. It's a massive disservice to the American public. We have a national media that wants to protect certain powerful figures and wants to go after other public figures.
I think we fully agree with that, don't we? And if it was that well known, I would imagine Fox and some others also knew about it. Schweizer was the one who was already going around talking about this grand jury thing, but it just never was made a big deal. Not a big deal. If they don't print it, they don't report it, it doesn't exist. It's as simple as that. We're not telling you a lie. We're just not giving you the truth. We're not giving you the facts. You can't blame us for telling a lie if we don't give you the facts. But now, of course, this new intense look at Hunter Biden and how the mainstream media, the very ones that worked to keep everything silent so it would not affect the presidential election to help protect, well, now they're beginning to think, well, there's a reason now to go after this story. And consider this. You heard former Assistant FBI Director Chris Swecker a moment ago saying, I think this is bigger than tax issues. I think this is actually money laundering. Let's go back to some comments from the former FBI Director Swecker.
When I hear him say that China is not a threat and China is not competitive, he's either clueless or he's sticking his head in the sand. They are the greatest threat to our national security and have been for quite a while. They've been stealing us blind.
That is Swecker talking about Joe Biden. And, of course, the other question that goes with that, is he saying it because his son Hunter is tied to another deal in China? Which is what Bob Alinsky was claiming, that they were also trying to put together a deal with China. He was supposed to be part of the effort. Which brings us back to the point I raised earlier, and I actually started raising it last week. The mainstream media will now take a closer look at Hunter, because if Biden, Joe Biden, is going to be president, anything they do now will not hurt Joe Biden being president, or I should say becoming president, but it will, if anything blows up on Hunter Biden and it splashes back on Joe Biden, it will be enough for Kamala and other progressives, because they don't think old Joe is sharp enough and going to do what they want, that they can then walk in and say, all these stories are coming out, Joe. You're compromised, you're believed to be an agent of the Chinese, your son was involved in business dealings, we're just going to have to remove you, step aside. And a guest I had in the last hour, Christopher Bedford, writing for The Federalist, a senior editor, was talking about how Biden is setting a lot of this in motion himself because of the folks he's choosing to serve in his cabinet. Former Deputy Secretary of State Antony Blinken up for state. Former Deputy National Security Advisor of the CIA, Avril Haines, up for Director of National Intel. Every one of them has to appear before the Senate for confirmation. And each one of them will be asked questions about what did you know about Hunter Biden's activities while Daddy was VP? Who did you report it to? What was the attitude? What was the response? In other words, mainstream media will be glad to report that. Because I think the ultimate playbook is, was never to have Joe Biden become president. Let him carry the flag. You know, you ever play the game? When the music stops, you sit down the chairs each time a chair is taken out. When the music stops this time for Joe, there won't be a chair. Meantime, famed attorney Dershowitz talking about this message the Supreme Court issued the other day regarding Donald Trump and his challenges. We'll share that with you when we continue. Please stand by.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Well, I think this sends a very, very unambiguous message. The three justices that President Trump appointed, his three justices, voted not to hear the case. I think it's a message to him and his team that you can't count on the judiciary. You can't count on the courts. The courts are not going to get involved. The clock is ticking. It's too close. It's a little too messy. That the only recourse now is to the state legislatures. You know, I said from the beginning, if he's going to turn this around, he needs a perfect storm, of the courts, the legislatures. He needs the governors, the secretaries of state. He needs the evidence, the numbers, and the clock. And the clock's running out. The courts have now said they're not going to help him. So the only recourse he has is to the state legislatures, and that's very, very unlikely.
Those are the words of famed attorney Dershowitz. And speaking of the courts, he was, of course, referring primarily to the Supreme Court decision by telling the president, even though you nominated several of us, we're not going to be party to this lawsuit, not even enough to hear it, which does agitate the president. I think it agitates a lot of us. I think it is worthy of an oral argument. But they decided to dismiss it. Did not discuss the merits of the case, basically saying Texas has no standing. That was the Texas lawsuit. Some would say, well, the fact that they rule Texas has no standing, that is a dealing with the merits of the case. Not exactly. Well, let's don't go down that rabbit hole. We do have another court today, a Wisconsin Supreme Court, also rejecting Donald Trump's lawsuit, trying to overturn votes in that state. So you heard Dershowitz say that Trump has got to be dealing, trying to get the legislatures on board to redirect the electoral votes, not going by the vote of that took place or at least was reported, but to redirect them to him. It didn't happen. But Dershowitz said all of this that Trump needed would be a perfect storm to get some balance, to get his case heard and maybe get things actually done. I'm sure he's right about that. And I also think this is a perfect storm that put him into this situation. With everything that was going so great in the U.S., our economy, everything else, and the massive rallies we saw and the bitter contest among the Democrats, and the indifference of the progressives that Joe Biden was going to lead the ticket. And they're still complaining, by the way. We'll talk about that before we wrap up the hour. There's no way Trump is going to lose. I mean, short of anybody cheating or massive mail-in balloting. And there's the other part of the perfect storm. Because of COVID, they use that as an excuse to start allowing more mail-in ballots and to ignore the deadlines that had been set by them. A Michigan judge did decide today that supporters of Trump can publicly release, discuss information they have from an analysis of voting machines and data, in one of the counties. Antrim County had 23,000 residents, gained the spotlight as Trump supporters tried to discredit it. Trump later shown to have more than a 5,000 vote lead. But now they can start talking about what they found out. Anything inside those Dominion machines? Meanwhile, can we have a legitimate, ethical election? Stand by, please.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
Hi, I'm local tax attorney Lance Drury, and I've represented hundreds of individuals and small businesses in disputes with the IRS. So if you've been contacted for past due tax debt or haven't filed taxes in a while, contact me, Lance Drury. And because each client's case is unique, we'll meet face-to-face and go over your tax situation in detail. Together, we'll develop a strategy to resolve your tax issues. I'm experienced, I know your rights, and I'll give you honest answers. Under my 8-point plan, my firm will file the necessary forms needed to resolve your issue with the IRS, and you won't have to worry about talking to their agents. I'll negotiate on your behalf to get you the lowest settlement allowed by law. At the Lance Drury Law Firm, we want to make sure that you're satisfied with the outcome. So call me now, tax resolution attorney Lance Drury, 314-238-7360, or go to LanceDrurylaw.com.
The choice of a lawyer is an important decision and should not be based solely upon advertisements.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
I'm president of the United States. I just got 75 million votes. The biggest number of votes in the history of our country ever gotten by a sitting president. I went from 63 million to 75 million, a 12 million vote difference. That's the biggest margin in history. They say if I got 67, the smartest people in the business, if I got 67 million votes, I couldn't lose. I got 75 million, and they say I lost. I didn't lose. The election was rigged. I worry about the country having an illegitimate president. That's what I worry about. A president that lost, and lost badly. This wasn't like a close election.
Well, of course, it depends on your perspective, doesn't it? If you're a Trump supporter, you're convinced this was rigged. If you're a Biden supporter, you're probably convinced, no, it was all fair. But if you're a realist and you're actually trying to be fair, there are a lot of questions that are not resolved at this point. And they won't be resolved before Inauguration Day. There are legitimate questions about how votes were handled, how votes were counted, if signatures were properly verified. When you have a litany of allegations and documentation in some cases of dead people voting, and the best answer you get from the other side is, well, they probably voted before they died. Well, it's easy enough to check. Check the death certificate versus the date the ballot was signed and delivered. Some had been dead for some time, so I kind of doubt they voted on this. But then the fact that they were sending out ballots, not just requests, do you want a ballot, but actual ballots out in some states, just sending them everyone on the voting rolls. They got the same issue going on right now in Georgia. And the Georgia Secretary of State is Republican, but I'm telling you, he has failed on so many different ways, reference the presidential election. I'm very, very concerned about the Georgia Senate runoffs. Keep in mind, we got Senators Loeffler and Perdue, both Republicans, trying to stay in the U.S. Senate. If they stay in, then the Republicans have a 52-48 majority in the Senate. If only one of them gets in, well, it's at least 51-49 majority. If neither get in, it's 50-50. And the vice president would have the opportunity to cast any deciding votes on any tie issue. And in Georgia right now, there's a report that a secretary of state, the secretary of state in Georgia, is not releasing a final list of newly registered voters ahead of the early voting. Loeffler and Perdue released a statement this morning to that effect, saying he's failed to compile a final list of new registered voters, pointing out it's been 1 week since the voter registration deadline passed. That was last Monday. And the Secretary of State has failed to compile and release a final list of newly registered voters. This is totally unacceptable. As in-person voting starts today, and the public still does not have a full accounting who is registered and who may attempt to cast a ballot in the runoff. We do know, according to Stacey Abrams, Democrat, who was a 2016 Georgia gubernatorial candidate, who's still convinced that she won then anyway. She said yesterday that 1.2 million absentee ballots had been requested for these January runoffs. And she says tens of thousands have registered to vote since the 2020 general elections. That means since the general election in November, tens of thousands are showing up in Georgia to register. We told you about this. They were going to flood the state with money and people coming in. If they can put down a deposit to hold a rent somewhere, and then they can show we got a place of residence, then they can vote. You have to ask, is this the way it's going to be from now on? Are we going to have to constantly fight fraud on a massive scale? And I'm not talking about to have Republicans elected. I'm talking about to have an honest election. Congressman Steve Scalise, Republican, Louisiana, who's also the House Minority Leader, says what we've seen in the general election is evidence enough that the American public is losing its trust in our elections.
There's going to ultimately be a conclusion to this. But for now, I think if you just discount the fact that millions of people wonder why is it that in some states, Florida, Texas, large states, they had the results by 10 o'clock that night. And then in other states, it was days and weeks. And during those days and weeks, you saw massive vote swings that just seed a lot of distrust. That's got to get resolved.
And that gets back to the point President Trump made a moment ago as we began this segment. He said, I was way up here with the numbers. And at 10 o'clock, everything just, a lot of states quit counting. And then all of a sudden, when they resumed counting, the numbers were reversed. I'm upside down. Could there be a legal explanation for that? I mean, a legitimate explanation. Yes, there could be. But isn't it best that we have transparency and we know and see as opposed to just trusting? Alan Dershowitz, being interviewed on WABC radio over the weekend, as you heard him earlier in this hour talk about how the message the Supreme Court sent the president is that we're not going to want to get involved in this. It's just too close to the deadline. The question specifically to Dershowitz was, we see all these questions, these, you know, kind of weird things happening. We're told that a water main broke in the Georgia counting room, so they had to abandon everything for a while when it was not true. It was basically an overflowing toilet or something like that. You shut down everything for that. And then when we're told that at 10:30, they're all told you can go home, we're done counting, when they clearly continued to count after that without any observers present. These are legitimate questions of issues of trust. But the question for Dershowitz, was there actual fraud?
We need to know what the truth is. I don't know how many votes. There was certainly some fraud. There was certainly some mistakes. There was certainly some problems. But the numbers are just unclear. We don't know. We don't know whether it was retail or wholesale. We know there were retail problems, dead people voting, ballots, hundreds, maybe thousands, not counted. But we don't know whether they're hundreds of thousands or millions. And that's what you need to know from a voter integrity panel. So I'm hoping for the future we can set something like that up and avoid these kinds of, you know, fights. Did it happen? Didn't it happen? And most of us out there don't know.
Dershowitz mentioning a voter integrity panel. He was talking about his idea that maybe to kind of deal with this, rather than going through courts and that kind of thing, that maybe you set up a special commission of folks that are clearly qualified and have no bias, or at least you have a balance inside it, that when an issue comes up in advance of an election, you can raise it right then, even before the election is carried out, and they can kind of make a ruling on it. Or then you can go ahead and have the election, then during the election they could raise a question, and this VIP panel will take it under consideration and make a ruling. And then after the election, the same thing. Now, Alan Dershowitz is a learned man, and he thinks that might be a suggestion. I give him credit for trying to find something outside the box, but I think he would be the first, and the interviewer didn't question him on that point. I think he'd be the first to say, if it ain't part of our law, something like that could be considered unconstitutional, and in fact, could be more damaging and certainly not even effective. But that's my view. Now, also, one of those contesting the Supreme Court negating or but deciding it wasn't even going to hear the Texas case is the Texas GOP chair, Lieutenant Colonel Alan West. Now, he's not happy with the Supreme Court taking that attitude. In fact, he said after that, maybe we need a union law that included only law-abiding states. And some were quickly saying, are you talking about secession? And Lieutenant Colonel West said, no, I'm not talking about that. But here's what he said did happen.
I think that we have to be concerned if the highest court in the land, which is supposed to interpret the law based upon the Constitution, does not even hear a case that is referring back to our Constitution, where the states can show that they are damaging effects upon them because of the illegal and unconstitutional actions of other states. This is very disconcerting.
It is disconcerting. And there were members of the Texas legislature, Republicans, who said, we're not in favor of this Texas lawsuit because we don't think any state should tell us how to do our elections, and we think our lawsuit is basically telling other states how to do theirs. That's their take on it. I take it, and I think the general thought was, we're not saying they can't do what they want, but they got to do it within the confines of the law. You can't just be changing things rapidly left and right. So West and others believe that by them doing that, a lot of voters got cheated out of their ballot. Well, you want to hear what Chris Wallace says about disenfranchising. And the way he explains it, well, you'll have to hear. That's coming up. Stand by.
You can follow Larry on Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook. Is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
So Chris Wallace, Fox News, questioning House Minority Whip Steve Scalise, Republican Congressman of Louisiana, because Solis was saying we just need to have all this fully heard in court. And he was upset that the Supreme Court wouldn't even give a hearing on the Texas case. He said they just didn't take it, said Texas didn't have standing. Well, Chris Wallace decided, well, if they got that, if you did that, I mean, you'd be throwing all these votes out in these various states, and wouldn't that be hurting people who voted? I want you to hear his question and keep in mind the flip side of it. But let's go to the remarks question that Chris Wallace posed to House Minority Whip Steve Scalise.
This was a lawsuit that was going to throw out the votes in four swing states, Georgia, Pennsylvania, Michigan, and Wisconsin. I mean, you were talking about disenfranchising the 10 million Biden voters who supported the president-elect in those four states. Do you feel comfortable throwing out millions of votes of your fellow Americans?
Well, again, Scalise said, look, we just want transparency. I would have said to Chris Wallace, if we don't have transparency, I wonder how many millions of votes for Trump got disenfranchised. I voted for Trump, and I find out that people in Wisconsin or Georgia, somebody got an illegal vote put in that they shouldn't have. And inside that own state, I mean, if someone lived there and voted for Trump, and others came in from outside, weren't even legal residents, weren't even, quote, alive when they voted. Very easy to talk about, oh, my God, you're going to disenfranchise all these others and their votes. Now, what about the folks who got disenfranchised by cheating, by fraud? Larry, it hasn't been proven. You're right, because we're not going to get a chance to prove it. But you watch. You watch. Mark it down the road. You'll say, you know, I remember there was a guy back in 2020, Connors, I think his name was, and he said they're going to prove fraud on this thing probably about 30 or 40 years. So here we are, 2060. I remember him saying that. Everybody thought he's a nutcase, but I heard him say it. We'll just mark it down. I was a nutcase here at this point saying, I think there will be in the future evidence coming out proving a lot of this. But then they would say, oh, too bad, too late. So sorry. And, of course, the progressives really don't want Joe Biden in there. Bernie Sanders is already complaining. So is Congresswoman Ilhan Omar. She's saying, we don't think we're getting a good seat at the table with the Biden team. We're not happy with Biden's pick so far. They're not putting us in place. Thought we had a partnership. So Bernie, AOC, Ilhan Omar, other progressives are saying, this cabinet that Joe Biden is pulling together does not represent us or what we wanted. It's the same old same under Obama, and they don't like Obama when you get down to it. Therefore, enter the mainstream media. I would love to hear if Project Veritas or someone else has some conversations going on between some of these media people and connections with progressive groups saying, here's some information, dig up on Hunter, go after Hunter, because the more we go after Hunter, it will splash up on Joe Biden, and we can walk into the Oval Office and say, Joe, all this stuff about Hunter and China and the money and Ukraine, and you didn't know anything? You should probably be removed for malfeasance, if nothing else. But we're certainly going to say you were compromised. You cannot be in this office. So if you'll kindly clear your desk out, or wait, we'll help you. We'll help you clear it out. Don't even worry about it, Joe. We'll box it up and send it to you. We'll send it to your basement. Kamala is going to come in and take the seat. If Joe Biden thinks he's won, that's kind of like playing Russian roulette with all six cylinders loaded. There's not one you can pick that's going to benefit you. And, yep, they'd be glad to get him out of the way and mainstream media used to be carrying the water for the Democrats. I think now they will be pretty much a state media voice controlled by progressives and far left. You thought it was bad before, it's going to get worse. That's why I tell you, this radio program and other conservative radio programs, we're going to be more important in the next 4 years than we've been in the last 4 years. And I do appreciate your support and spreading the word, because we need to be here. We need to stand in the line. And besides, in the future, you want to be able to say, 40 years from now, I remember that. What was that guy named O'Connor? Connors? He said that we're going to prove someday it was all fraud in the 2020 election. We'll prove it. Well, by God, looking to see what happened. Hey, we'll be back tomorrow, 1 o'clock. Book it.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Thank you for listening to Larry Connors USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.